25 years ago, the September 11th terrorist attack shocked America and the world. Understand how this tragic event revealed the terrible urgency of our times. Next, on The Key of David, with Gerald Fleury.
American psyche has just been sobered as never before. We have recently experienced a massive terrorist attack against the World Trade Center and against the Pentagon. And we've seen a lot of people go out and have prayer vigils, and even something that was more astounding, perhaps, we saw members of Congress, both the Senate and the House, singing from the Capitol steps, "God Bless America." Now, we know that God has blessed America in the past. I think anybody can see that. But is God blessing America today? That is what we really need to understand. Now, anybody that knows the Bible knows that there are many verses that tell you that God blesses and He curses. So, in all honesty, we should look at both sides of this Bible understanding, and so that we can understand exactly what God says. Now, I was watching live TV when the second plane hit the second tower of the World Trade Center, and I can tell you that it just made me feel physically sick, because it was obviously a terrorist attack against this country that I love, and I think many other people felt the very same way. But what is happening? What is the cause of all this? And yet, it is sobering as it is, many people say, well, it's going to get worse. And I think if you look at the unfolding events in the world, terrorism and all of the power that we have, nuclear and so on, that we do have to be thinking that that is a very likely possibility.
That's my father from 25 years ago. Hard to believe. We're coming up to the 25th anniversary of those attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, as you heard there, the other plane that went down in that Pennsylvania field. And more and more people, they don't have a working memory of that attack. 25 years. And what's amazing about that anniversary, if you go back a few months before that, my father, he talked about us entering into the last hour, taking the language from 1 John 2, and saying we're drawing close to the return of Jesus Christ. That was on May 5th, 2001. And then just a few months later, you had those attacks on September 11th, 2001. Just a few months after, he was saying to the world that we're coming into the last hour before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Today, we're going to be spotlighting this booklet that came from that message that my father gave May 5th, 2001. On the last hour, language taken out of 1 John 2 and verse 18. And one thing that this booklet really does emphasize is time. You know, the fact that we have to manage our time and prepare for the return of Christ and do everything that we can to be urgent, to push ourselves. My father's talked before about time wasting being one of the great the great tools that the devil uses to just keep us distracted or from doing things that we know that we ought to be doing. Let me just read you that verse in 1 John 2:18. It says, "Children, it is the last hour." This is in the Revised Standard Version. "And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." We've seen so much deception. We've seen so much evil. We have so many distractions. The devil is at work. He's been cast down to this earth, as Revelation 12 brings out. and his demons are cast down with him. They're confined to this earth. And look at what they're doing. My father writes in the Last Hour book, we are running out of time. Things will never return to the way they were. From now on, we're in the last hour. Again, he's speaking this, he's writing this just a few months before 9/11. We're running out of time. It's a time like no other. We will experience the worst turmoil and violence ever on earth. How do you manage your time, he asks. What are you going to do with your time? What little time you have left? Satan has really jammed the frequency, so to speak. There are so many distractions, so many gadgets, so much push-button technology, and so much of it is designed to steal away our time, to keep us from doing or focusing on what is most important. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God will take care of so many of the other things. But you've got to put God first. That's the first and great commandment. That's in Matthew 22 as well. Matthew 6 is where it says, seek first the kingdom. Put God first. If you look at it from God's perspective, what a time to be alive. What a time to be doing God's work. What a time to be serving God. But so many of God's people have gotten distracted with this world and the ways of this world. Verse 15, if you just back up, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love this world and love God at the same time. God, when he brings you into his church, he's calling you out of the world. As I say, this is a really urgent message. It's a wake-up call, as 9/11 was. We had some people that came into the true church because of 9/11. They were jolted by this. But as with everything, time goes by for a little bit. You forget about that history. In some cases, as I'll read after the break, you have people revising the history, changing the history. And then, of course, we're just forgetful as well. And so those lessons, they don't run as deep as they used to. That's a trait of human nature, for sure, to forget those lessons that we should have right at the forefront of our thinking. This is from an old article in the Worldwide Church of God. It says, Satan is the god of this world, and he's arrayed the entire society against us to distract us and to snare us as we seek to draw near to God and to serve him. Satan is the world's greatest time waster. He just wants you to waste away your time. Look, if we're in the last hour, we can't waste any moments. We can't waste any minutes. We've got to dig into God's truth. We've got to look into 1 John 2. We've got to study this booklet. We offer this, by the way, at no cost or obligation. It's freely offered. Just request it. You can go to our website. You can text in your request. You can call our operators. There are a number of ways that you can get to this truth. Just to read a couple more verses. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. That's what lasts. That's what continues. Doing God's will. God wants to bring us right into his kingdom, into his family. He wants to bring us into his purpose, his plan. And we need jolts from time to time to help us realize we're in the last hour. We don't have much time left. Look at what happened on 9/11. If you're old enough to remember, you know that was a day that changed everything. And more, as I say, a lot of our people today, they either they weren't there to see it or witness it, or they're being told lies about it, and they're not being jolted by it. It's not driving them closer to God. It's something that's just a, you know, a mere memory or a fainting memory. We put together this video just giving you a summary of all that happened on that day. 25 years ago, this weekend, here's clip two.
I was dropping my daughter from school, riding along the bike path along the river, and I saw a big airplane over my head, very low, and I looked up and I thought, what in the world is this plane doing here? It's too low. And I looked up behind me and I saw this huge airplane crash into the side of the World Trade Center. And then I was in shock, as was everyone, and we were standing there talking, how could something like this happen? And then all of a sudden, a smaller airplane slammed right into the other tower. I saw both of them happen. It was horrible.
We are, brethren, living in the last hour. We're in the death throes of this nation of Israel, and the Ephraim and Judah are all about to die if they don't really listen to our message. What would Jesus Christ have said about the September 11th terrorist attack? Several Christian leaders have said, well, they didn't know why it happened or why God would allow it to happen. But is that really the answer that Jesus Christ would have given? After all, a Christian is one who follows Jesus Christ and listens to what he says. We have seen headlines around the United States about this being Armageddon or Doomsday or World War III, and I mean, this attack went right at the heart of America. Surely, Jesus Christ would have an answer for that. Would he just be silent? Or would he have something to say? And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now here's the God of love and judgment. And Jesus Christ said, well, do you suppose these people like in Galilee, or he might have said New York City, were more evil than other people, and therefore that's why they suffered? And he said, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you're all going to likewise perish. Are we innocent Americans? Just how innocent are we? Or just how guilty are we? If you don't repent, you're going to all perish that way. This is it. This is the last hour, the last hour of curses, we could say, or the cursed last hour of Israel's life. Why will you die, O Israel? You don't have to die. We only have a little time left to warn this world, only a very little time. And we must use that time.
It's a sobering message, but like my father brought out there, I think the first show he did after 9/11 was, is God blessing America? That was a curse that day, 25 years ago. And why did it happen? And why weren't there more theologians or preachers asking the hard questions? So many of them, as he said there, in one of those quotes, they were just saying, well, we don't know why it happened. We can't explain it. God has a view. God has an opinion. And we want to be humble enough to look to God. This book, it's about the epistles of John. And you talk about a sobering message. You talk about a thunderbolt of shock. That's what there is in this book. That's what there is in the epistles of John. And God wants us to get into the Bible and to, as you saw there at the last, to remember these lessons, to let them sink in, to never forget. A lot of people suffered. The whole nation suffered. In many ways, the world suffered on that day, 25 years ago. This is from a Fox News article. 25 years later, September 11 is becoming history rather than memory. For a younger generation, it is increasingly just a chapter in a textbook, or worse, fodder for internet conspiracy theories, memes, and jokes. It says, we can't let that happen. We can't let this turn into a meme or a theory. We've got to go back and remember. Think about how many verses in the Bible speak to remembering. This has been the great tragedy of our time with respect to God's people. Most of God's people have forgotten the truth. And right here in the last days, right here in the last hour, if you don't have this book, make sure that you request it today and add it to your library and study the epistles of John. And it's not like it's just in John's epistles. You look at Paul's writings, you look at what Jesus said, you look at what Moses wrote in Leviticus about blessings and cursings, and about the curses intensifying as we get closer to the return of Christ. You can look into the Bible and see and know who we are, Israel, I mean, the nations, the end-time nations of Israel, the lost tribes of Israel. I just want to take you back to a Key of David program. This is, I think, the first program my father did right after 9/11. God bless America, as he asked in that show. Is God blessing the nation? This is clip 3.
I will break the pride of your power. I will break the pride of your power. In other words, we have power. We have power in this end time, more power than any nation on this earth. But God says, because of your sins, I'm going to break your will to use it. Can you believe, or would you believe, that America has anything like the will of those terrorists? Why, there's no comparison, is there? I mean, you have to give them that, even though they're the most heinous murderers you could think of. I'll tell you this, they had a strong will, and I'll tell you something else. They would not have attacked us. They would not have done it if we had demonstrated to them in the past what our a strong will to match our power. If we'd just had a will to match our power, they would never have done that. I mean, there's a time in history where they would not have done that. But back in the times, certainly of Teddy Roosevelt in that time. But look, it's very much like the beast in the jungle. You don't see beasts going around attacking the lions, do you? Well, you rarely see that because they're the king, the lion is the king of the jungle, and it's like suicidal to attack them. Now, if you're really a lion and you really have a strong will with all that power, and we should be a lion in the world, then people are not going to go around attacking you. They're not going to do that.
It was Herbert Armstrong who said, following World War II, he prophesied that America's won its last war. Look at what's happened since. Did America win the war against terrorism, the so-called war against terrorism? It's still a struggle, isn't it? The threat is still real, and people can tune it out or turn it into a meme, but the threat is still there. And God's trying to wake us up. My father wrote, this is the first trumpet issue after 9/11. He said, God really knows how to get people's attention. The Twin Towers were the tallest buildings in New York. The Pentagon is the largest office building in the world. These were citadels of the greatest financial and military power in the world. They symbolized America's greatness, but their destruction is just the beginning of sorrows. This is what God wants us to remember. He wants us to look at our history. There was a time when America did have pride in its power. There was a time when America didn't spend its strength in vain, as it's doing now. Matthew 24, this is from the Olivet Prophecy. Jesus said in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound," or sin, lawlessness, "the love of many shall wax cold." People are going to be losing the love of God. They're going to be losing the love for God's truth. They're not going to study their Bibles. They're not going to pray to God. Their love will wax cold. It says about true Christians, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We have to endure. We have to endure through trials and tests, obstacles. That word for endure, it means to remain or to have fortitude or to persevere. It's so easy to forget these momentous events in world history and to just be lulled into a state of complacency or to go to sleep spiritually. God says, wake up and focus in on time and how short time is and how that we're in the last hour and we only have so much time to get ready for the return of Christ. If you haven't, as I say, if you haven't requested this, make sure you call our operators today or get onto our website, text your request, and there's no cost or obligation. You can get a free copy of my father's book, The Last Hour. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.